I'm from a technology company, so we need to keep the AV guy around here close. It's an extraordinary honor for me to be here this afternoon, and I want to thank my colleagues at APHA for inviting me to share in this special celebration for what I think is one of the true giants in medicine and population health over the course of the last 50 years. You won't hear from me as wonderful a commentary as you've heard from my two colleagues on the podium. I only have a legacy of 6 years with Barbara. For those of you who work with Barbara, you know 6 years could be a really intensive period of time, and indeed it was. My only disclosure to you this afternoon is that like so many of you, Barbara changed, she changed my life. She was one of those really unique individuals who could, in a very few interactions, do three things all at the same time. One is reorient your mental models and spur your thinking. The second is to bring enormous energy and energize your spirit. And the third is that she had a very subtle way of touching your heart while she was doing all of these things. She and I connected in the 05-06 time frame, and we quickly established a very intense and ongoing dialogue about two things. One, the transformation of primary care, and second, strategies for reforming the healthcare delivery system. What I'd like to do this afternoon is to give you some insight into things you won't read anywhere, ever, involving the kind of work Barbara and I did over the last 6 years when she sort of came over to the dark side of corporate America with her principles and her demands fully in hand, I can assure you. What she was able to do for what we decided we wanted to do in our company a half a dozen years ago was just simply extraordinary. What we decided in about 2005 in our company was that we were going to make a major modification to our strategy for advancing the health of our workforce and their families. And it wasn't because we weren't achieving enormous success in what we were doing in our company to shift the population health risk distribution of our workforce and saving lots of money in the context of doing that. But it was because we really believed that that success was time limited and that there was going to be a plateau. And we believed then that that was going to happen for the reasons that you're in this profession of population health. And that is that we were persistently confronting, one, a healthcare delivery system with really poor performance. And secondly, that at the end of the day, where health, you know, is created, was broken. That those sectors in our society that do things that make it easy or hard for us to be healthy, they were fundamentally health agnostic in conducting their business. And secondly, that the landscape where our workforce and their families were distributed was a landscape of fundamentally unhealthy communities. And therefore, what we were trying to do over the long term required us as an enterprise to engage in two things besides what we were doing. One was to bring the power of our brand to healthcare delivery system reform. And secondly, to bring the power of our brand in a second phase to health system reform, to reforming conditions in which communities exist and in which we all function. Now, what I'm going to share with you is sort of the first phase of that, but I will tell you that we're on the cusp of the second phase. So my boss says, well, okay, you know, I buy that. So how are we going to do that? What are we going to do, you know, in this fragmented, dysfunctional healthcare delivery system? And in the context of a lot of study, some of which you've seen here, presented earlier, of international health systems performance, one, and secondly, in the context of this 50-year history that you see on this slide of primary care and this construct of the medical home, you know, much of which was grounded on the work of Barbara Starfield, that we decided that we were going to make primary care transformation the locus of our strategy for healthcare delivery system reform. And so this brought me very naturally to Barbara. And so I connected with Barbara in 2005, 2006, and I said, I said, Dr. Starfield, and she said, don't call me Dr. Starfield. She says, I'm Barbara. I said, okay. I said, we have this idea that we can bring the power of employer purchasing to accelerate and advance traction around transformation of primary care, and we believe we can get the attention of policymakers to do things in support of this, right? That primary care as a community has been unable to interest people in. And fundamentally because we were in the same position that policymakers and legislators are in, and that is that we were drowning, right, in the unaffordability of the weight of poor health and the system that we were in. And I said, and I believe that they will listen to us. I believe that they will listen to us. So she looks at me and she's a little bit skeptical, but intensely and keenly interested. And the truth is that over a very short period of time, she became an enormous advocate, an external critical observer of what we then proceeded to do over the half dozen years, and a personal counselor and confidant to me as I led our company and many other companies in pursuit of primary care transformation. So one of the first things we did was we created the primary care, a locus for employers and primary care physicians to come together and work in support of transforming primary care without all of the health industry intermediaries. Because fundamentally, we bought care and primary care providers provided the care. So we wanted a producer-customer interaction to define the agenda, fundamentally. And in so doing, we created this collaborative that I'll describe a little bit. And I'll talk about two real watershed events that occurred in the aftermath of the patient-centered primary care collaborative's establishment that is the foundation for what you see in all of the activity that's going on in primary care transformation from a, you know, from an ACA, you know, from a state legislative standpoint and so forth, in activities in and around primary care, not just in the private sector, but also in public sector programs. So Here's the Patient Center Primary Care Collaborative. Almost 5 years to this day, we had an inaugural convocation of 11 progressive companies, TRICARE, and the primary care physician organizations in the IBM facilities on K Street. And the idea there, having met with all of them, was to forge an alliance between the primary care physician organizations and we as employers to define how we were going to try to influence bringing much more attention to primary care. And Barbara was really key. Barbara was really key in this. Not because she was a member, but because we wanted her as a critical external observer to keep this whole process honest and to ensure that as things evolved, and I'll talk about a couple of them, that the focus would remain intense, you know, on what Liu talked about were the core attributes or what we would refer to as the principal value drivers, where the value is, what really differentiates primary care, and to serve as a counselor to some of us in this process. The road was rough. The road was rough. And I would like to sort of share a couple of those bumpy spots with you. One is the creation and the publication of the Joint Principles for Patient-Centered Medical Home by all of the primary care physician organizations in 2007. And the second was the creation and the publication of the first version of the NCQA standards for certification of medical homes. So where did these come from? Part of what we brought as employers to the dialogue with the primary care physician organizations was, first thing you guys have to do is you got to get on the same page. You got to get on the same page and you need to resolve your differences. And you have to deliver to us as employers who want to buy what Barbara was talking about, a single concept and a single structure, because we want to provide one thing to all of our workers and all of their families. We don't want to choose between the pediatric version, the family physician version, and the internist version. We want one, so you've got to do that. And that prompted the creation and the publication of these joint principles. That was a real watershed event. You know, one of those things that few people will ever realize how significant that was, because it brought all of these groups, all with their own plans and strategies for transforming their physician groups together under one umbrella, one concept, and forged a path that they could not disengage from going forward. And as you can see, quite a number of the core attributes of primary care as Barbara has unearthed were included in the joint principles. Not all, but most. The NCQA standards arose out of an employer request to the primary care physicians and the Patient Center Primary Care Collaborative. Okay, so now you've got the principles, but you know what? I don't buy principles in the marketplace, right? I buy services and I buy functions that I can identify, that I can count, that you can bill me for, and that I can audit. So you've got to operationalize the principles, right? So that we know when we're buying a medical home and when we're not buying a medical home. And they said, well, gee, that makes a lot of sense. So they went, you know, to the National Committee on Quality Assurance and asked them to create those standards. And they did. And this is kind of like the first version of those NCQA standards which quite frankly fell far short of the core attributes of primary care. That was a real issue, and Barbara was really key, you know, to help us, to help me, to help the other employers go back and say, you know what, this ain't good enough. You've got to change these. You've got to come up with a second version, because all this is process and structure, right? I'm interested in outcome. And where does the outcome come from? Well, we know where the outcome comes from, right? Barbara showed us all of that. And, you know, and to their credit, right, they took this feedback, revised the standards, and we're now in a different, you know, version of the NCQA standards that is much more responsive. Not completely, but it's much more responsive to the primary attributes of primary care. And that's where these NCQA standards came from. I want to leave you with what to me are three real important messages, not all the messages, but three real important messages that we need to continue to push in the system today, because they're getting lost. And they're getting lost in the trappings of technology, they're getting lost in the trappings of information, they're getting lost in the trappings of easy things to measure, they're getting lost in the traffic of the focus on money and payment reform. And these are the difference between patient-centered and patient-focused over time. The second is comprehensiveness, and the third are specialists in our system. And we're not paying enough attention to those. You know, patient-centered, and we call this thing the patient-centered medical home for some number of years, means different things to different people. We don't know how to measure it. You know, we don't know how to measure the ability to be able to be patient-centered in the sense of being able to include patients in decision-making, ensuring that they have the information in ways that they can understand and process, and being sensitive to their preferences, right? Being sensitive and responsive, you know, to their cultures and interacting with them in languages they understand. Some of those, there are some measurements for, but on balance, there isn't a measurement to tell me how patient-centered am I. And Barbara would say, and we thoroughly support, that patient-centered should be something that everybody who's in the business of providing care for people should do. It is neither unique to primary care, nor, quite frankly, is patient-centered where the evidence resides in terms of the value and outcomes of primary care. That it resides in being person-focused, and being person-focused over time, and person-focused in the way you've heard it described, which is you approach people in the context of their full diversity, right? And you have to be really good at understanding their problems. And it isn't necessarily just about biology and psychology and development, right? It's about social relationships and social networks, economics, and the environment in which people live. That's person-focused, and that's person-focused over time. And we need to be much more aggressive and active, you know, in pushing for person-focused over time in this, you know, this aperture that we've got with healthcare delivery system and healthcare practitioner reform. The second is comprehensiveness. And comprehensiveness in the sense of the skills and competencies of the people who are providing primary care, the breadth of skill and competencies to provide a broad range of services, so that the need to be able to go get service outside that environment is infrequent. Because she said it once, she said it a million times in these forums, and that is we will have accomplished very little if what we do is create the opportunity to, for primary care to coordinate care amongst a very large number of specialists, because we can't take care of a lot of those problems in our primary care practices. We don't have the capacities, we don't have the, you know, we don't have the resources, we don't have the capacities, we don't have the skills to do that, to be able to provide this broad range of services. So we really need to push for that. And then finally is specialists. You know, to a certain extent, you know, we're trying to fix the system by addressing the least influential component of the problem, right? Most physicians in this country are specialists. Where most physicians coming out of training are specialists. This is the locus of high technology, high cost technology intensive care. And we've seriously got to get about the business of collecting the evidence base on specialty practice that Barbara spent 50 years developing on primary care, because that's our biggest problem. So we're very interested in, you know, in trying to do those things. In 2007, I was quite honored to both nominate and award, along with Helen Darling at the National Business Group on Health, Barbara with the highest private sector award for excellence and quality, either in generating the foundation for value-based approaches to health or to actually implementing those things. And I'd like to close by just reading you what we shared with, you know, with 400 plus companies in that meeting. And we said that through her superior research and her unassuming, soft-spoken but persistent way, she reminds us that the simple things are important and often have a greater impact on health, and that with healthcare services consumption, less is often better than more, and that the really, really important decisions that impact behavior change, health service consumption, and outcomes are made in the intimacy of families and in trusting durable relationships with physicians and caregivers who have a longitudinal comprehensive knowledge of us as individuals. So this is kind of what Barbara Starfield has meant to us, and she reminds me of what Brian Andreas said in one of his books. He's one of these Garrison Keillor kinds of people from the Midwest. He happens to be an Iowan. And he said that the most important things you leave behind is the stuff that turns into treasures when children find it. And Barbara has left us with a few of those. She's left us with the notion of whole person, of comprehensiveness, of equity, and systems. And if we play hard enough with these things, our families and our nation will be a lot better. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is normally the part where we open it up to questions for the speakers, but we might make it a little broader and also ask that if you have additional memories of Barbara that you'd like to tell us about, please do so. So anyone with questions or memories? Anything else anyone else at the head table would like to say in closing? Okay, well, I guess we're done. Thank you very much.